You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of April 1st, 2020, and greetings from the gates of hell.
That's a good one. Experience Points Podcast. I'm Joel Jabor.
My name is Scott Chester.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And despite our best efforts, it's only April 1st.
Woo!
Slow going this month, folks. Slow going.
One foot in front of the other.
It's like one day at a time, but it feels like weeks at a time, you know?
Sometimes it is 1 hour at a time, you know?
That's true. Yeah, everything has slowed to a crawl.
Yeah.
We are still in the COVID-19 world, of course. Sorry to break that to you.
The worst world. Now,
if you're coming out of your bunker thinking that this was the day the last headline said would be safe. but there's some news on the horizon about video games. A lot of the impact of the shelter-in-place orders around the world are sort of having an impact. Some of them we thought were kind of interesting and wanted to bounce around to some of those different stories. So that's what we'll be doing today.
So first off, even before we talk about any specific events getting moved or whatever, are you seeing any difference in play habits or behavior on any of the more online games you're playing?
Oh, interesting. So for League of Legends, at least, I feel like queue times are slightly faster, actually, now that you mention it. Yeah. I mean, I imagine more people are playing. I know certainly for at least a week or so ago, more people were generally playing like Ubisoft games because, you know, people had time on their hands.
Exactly. People were home. Yeah.
And I bet you the traffic probably spikes also earlier in the day because, well, one, kids for sure, right? Like if you are a kid and you're out of school and you're like, I don't know, 10 or 12 or something and you know... I don't know what else you're doing if not playing video games. That's the only thing I did.
I don't know what else I would do.
So yeah, for sure. Although it's interesting because I also understand that people like yourself with a child are finding it actually much harder to get time in their schedule to play video games.
Yeah, it's a weird, it kind of feels like a monkey's paw thing or whatever where it's like, I wish I had an excuse to just stay home all the time. It's like, wishes granted. Your whole family will stay home too. It's like, oh no.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a bit of a curse. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been on too many online queues recently, but I mean, just, I think the Steam stats and the Epic Store stats, I think they're continuing to show greater than normal concurrent players, so it feels like there are more people out there.
And I know that there are some folks out there, publishers alike. I know that there's some like indie game stuff bundles that people are doing to sort of start giving things away and just make things a bit more like publicly available. So I think certainly there are more opportunities to play games than you might otherwise have had, even if it wasn't just for time alone. I think people know, like, man, if there's one thing we could all use, it's something to distract ourselves from the reality of the world. So they're making them available.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are some headlines that we saw. We've also been, we've been getting into some newer games. Both of us have played some of Doom Eternal. Yep. And George has started on Animal Crossing and we have Final Fantasy on the horizon. So we're going to do kind of a look around the headlines, plus maybe some very early impressions on a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to start with?
Well, since you mentioned Final Fantasy, do you just want to start with Final Fantasy?
Yes. This is where my head is at now. I'm very excited about this game.
I was reading the story and I was getting information I'd never heard about. Like, there's a new character named Roche. What? Totally new to the series.
Is this some weird like biotech thing? Because Roche is a huge biotech firm.
It says Final Fantasy VII will introduce characters never seen in the original, like Roche, the mysterious soldier working for Shinra. There's also an entire story involving Aerith and a mysterious hooded shadow creatures that we don't know about.
I mean, the mysterious hooded shadow creatures sound more like the, the Sephiroth cultists or whatever. Like that seems like
that's
a little
good
bit
point.
More,
I forgot about that.
You know,
yeah.
In story, but who the hell is Roche?
Maybe it's like, who's that politician that was like on college campuses.
Oh, is that LaRouche?
LaRouche, yeah, LaRouche. Okay, yeah. not to be confused with that guy, I guess. Yeah.
Hold on, I have some literature for you.
The actual story is about Square Enix announced on their Final Fantasy VII Remake Twitter account, or the Final Fantasy VII Twitter account, that they would be shipping the game out early. The game actually comes out April 10th, but because of concerns about release disruptions as a result of supply lines and COVID-19 and people not getting it in stores, that they wanted to be safe, ship everything out early, make sure that everything is available to all locales on April 10th. Some locales may end up having those games in stock, and they don't want us to spoil it.
I don't quite understand. So this tweet, which is really just two screenshots of a very long wall of text.
Yeah, I love that, dude. Who's fuck Twitter and your 280 character limit? Yeah,
I mean, geez, but I don't quite understand the logistical argument here, because you still have to, if you want a physical copy, you're still gonna have to procure it somehow, right?
Well, I mean, my guess is it could be just all of the different retail partners that you have to work with. Everyone's working from home, right?
Yeah,
like your team, the retail team, is working from home. The person that is working at GameStop is working from home, and the people that are working at like all the different stores around the world are working from home, and the shops are open in different hours, and people are, you know, I don't know how it's working in other countries, but maybe there's mail delivery backups or something. Okay. You know, so I could understand that there's legitimate concern that if you wait till the last minute like you normally would to prevent any discs getting out there before the street date, that it might result in some regions not having the game on time.
Right.
Which I think to that end makes a lot of sense. It's cool that they're doing it. It's a little weird they're worried about spoiling a game that came out so many years ago, but...
Well, now that we know that fucking Roche is apparently the most powerful being in the Final Fantasy VII universe, see why.
Aerith's true love, Roche.
Oh my god, what if she came back and it was like, I came back to marry you, my Roche. True love.
Lyndon LaRouche.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's just if you think there's going to be delays, maybe you try to err on the side of getting it into the channels sooner than usual. But I wonder what this is going to do overall to physical games, period. I mean, it was, of course, on the trend towards fully digital. But now, you see GameStop closing more and more stores. Really, the stores just won't reopen. People don't want to go to the store unless they really have to get, food or supplies or something. So it just seems like going to get a physical boxed video game, unless you're getting it delivered to you. And even then, it's kind of, people aren't super comfortable getting packages still. So I don't know. It just seems like it's interesting that they would even try so hard at all when they could just say, well, people who really care about this will probably download it.
I mean, I noticed that when you order food on like Caviar, you can check a box that just has them leave it at the door.
Again, so, we're not even hurtling towards, we are in the Death Stranding universe.
It's pretty wild. But that's what I'm saying is what would the ideal be? Would be someone comes into my house and just inserts the disc into my PlayStation 4. Don't touch the controller. That's mine. I'll start it up, but you got to put the disc in.
And they're in the full, the full-on hazmat bunny suit, like they're fabricating silicon wafers or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's pretty wild. That's a good point. My other question actually is it going to be more frowned upon when inevitably someone leaks it,
Yeah.
Because before it was like, hey, don't leak, that's bad, but whatever, like there's a demand for it. Are people just going to be like, look, don't be a douche, They asked you not to.
Yeah,
it's 2020. We're all stuck inside, and you like went out to get to break street date on a game that came out 20 years ago. Like,
yeah, come on.
I don't know.
Let's see what else is going on. Speaking of Final Fantasy, I liked this story around the developers of Final Fantasy 14 pausing automated demolition of your in-game houses.
Yeah, this is a weird idea. Final Fantasy 14 is an MMO that I wish I knew more about, because I thought it was going to be flash in the pan, and it has been pretty consistent in terms of its player base over the years.
This is the one that I think they relaunched, right?
They did, yeah. And I mean, I remember playing it very briefly in its early days, but it never stuck with me. But man, there are folks out there that play this game so consistently. I mean, it's, you know, people are still writing news stories about it. And you see that for how many MMOs? A handful, right? It's like this and World of Warcraft. so it's quite impressive. I don't understand how real estate works in the real life, let alone how it works in the world of Final Fantasy, though. Like, I don't understand why is there auto demolition in the first place? It's all digital space, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could make the argument.
Maybe it's server-based? Like, can you actually buy land?
I mean, that's what they're saying. I mean, there's only so many slots per server that they support. And so I guess you could make some sort of argument for whatever. There might be a technical limit, but it seems more like a limit to inspire people to be more engaged with the game.
My question is, are there actual neighborhoods? Like, can I actually go in world and like go to your house, like Animal Crossing style, right? Because so, for example,
give
in
me
World
some
of
peaches.
Warcraft, well, for guild houses in WoW back in the day, it was all the same entrance. You know, it was just an instanced version of your little guild house. So there was no like a limit. There was no plot of land. The idea of land actually being there and you have to log in to like maintain it is just bonkers to me.
Yeah, it must be. I could see some sort of combination of in-world rationale around, you know, this is just the story of the game, and some sort of thing where it's like, well, we need to keep players coming back, and once they've got this house, there's, you know, a sunk cost feeling that you want to maintain it, you want to keep it coming back, and so it's like a good retention tool for them. But I think there are implications to people who, you know, like I said, they're stuck at home with their full families, which means they can't really play a video game that much, or they don't, you know, their job is impacted, so they don't want to pay for it. So it's kind of a cool thing, but it just lays bare how strange and potentially arbitrary the whole system is in general.
I mean, what really fills me with despair is that this decision has been made in Final Fantasy VII before there's been any news about a moratorium on small business rents or housing rents in the actual real world where people are struggling to pay their rent.
Yeah, because what is it? Like, I think Gavin Newsom, our great governor of the great state of
the
California.
The golden state of California.
The golden state. I think he froze evictions for at least the foreseeable future. But
there's a difference between, I guess that's a similar thing, I guess, in terms of demolitions. Man, thank God they don't just demolish your house if you're gone too long.
If I stop paying, your rent, some guys show up.
Sledgehammer.
Some really surly looking elves.
Sorry. Mark Zuckerberg wants to move in here again, so.
Oh, jeez. Mark Zuckerberg and his neighbor, Tom Nook.
This is reserved for Airbnb plots only. Thank you very much.
Oh man, what else is happening?
I saw a story that Pokemon Go will let friends raid together from home. I also assume this is to address the COVID-19 thing.
Yeah, that is cool.
Again, not something I still actively play, but that's pretty neat. I don't understand how this works though. Like, do you just say, hey, let's all click on the same raid at the same time?
Yeah, and then maybe you can like link up with friends or something.
Yeah. Because, I mean, normally, so for example, at my work, back when I used to go into a physical place in the year 2020, in case you're listening to this in 2050 and we're still in bunkers, there was a Pokemon Go, like, hotspot right next to my desk. And our PR team would just walk over and they'd be, like, in a group. And they'd be like, what are you guys doing here? Can you please leave? And
oh, my God. It's capturing Pokemon next together. To your desk, too? Good Lord. Yeah.
I mean, it was a good opportunity to talk to them, you know, and they would always be like, you should play. And I was like, no, I shouldn't. So.
You know, it's funny. One of the final times that I was like truly out and about coming home from work, there's a couple hotspots near the BART station near my house. And at least once a week, if not more, there are groups of 10 or more people just kind of awkwardly standing in a circle on their phones.
Yeah.
And it's now strange looking back that one of the biggest groups that I had to kind of navigate my bike around on the way home to shelter in place for the next 3 months or whatever was a Pokemon Go gang.
Pokemon Gophers. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah. It is interesting, though, that they've thought about it, right? Like, they've also said that they plan on, I don't know how they'll do this, but they plan on making it such that you will still be able to move around and collect Pokemon and experience Pokemon Go when you're just in your house, like cleaning around, or if you are on a treadmill, or if you're like exercising indoors. Yep. It's interesting that that was never really a problem that needed to be solved, because the whole point was to get outside and go move around and live that fantasy. Pokemon Go does make a good amount of money for the Pokemon company.
Yeah.
And there was still a very strong and active player base. So it is interesting to see them pivot so quickly towards making this a fantasy about just leaving your house. Like, it's not even about catching Pokemon anymore, you know? And I mean,
baby steps.
Well, it's similar to, like, I've seen a lot of higher demand for Ring Fit Adventure, right? Like, there's been some discussions about, oh, it's been sold out and I haven't been able to find it. There is this desire to be able to fill some of your exercise needs at home. We've seen different companies that do yoga or Pilates or any number of exercises that would normally be, you know, you'd watching on YouTube or you'd have a subscription model, just go free for a while or give free trials for people who are trying to exercise at home. It makes sense to me that more games pivot towards that, to providing some of those services that they might not otherwise provide as well, you know?
It will provide some opportunity for creativity around those sorts of like multiplayer experiences that they might realize that, oh, we don't actually have to tie everything to a physical place. We could do a mixture of in-home things for the people that maybe are dropping off the curve. We can like kind of entice them back in. And then also, you know, pent up demand for the outdoor things. Like I could see Pokemon Go coming out of this even stronger, which is kind of a crazy thing to think about.
I mean, it's not dissimilar to what I've seen in regards to people connecting with each other more in Animal Crossing, right? Like that, I think, has provided a lot of people solace this month who have been playing Animal Crossing. And not just because it's a calm, leisurely, low-stress environment, but because it lets them go and visit their friends in a casual way that they cannot do right now. And it's interesting because clearly the foundations of Animal Crossing aren't built to really be the same thing as like a Zoom hangout or something, right?
Yeah.
Typing on your Switch so you can speak to other people when you're on their island is so frustratingly slow and painful that it drives me bonkers. But what I will say is maybe this type of sort of mass experience where you kind of really see the value of these shared online spaces will encourage developers and Nintendo in particular to improve their online services, right? Because you now know that you're not just providing, oh, here's a one-off feature for some of the people that want it. There may be a time, you know, this may happen again, or there are other reasons people are confined indoors. Maybe they themselves are sick with something. Maybe they come down with, you know, God forbid, cancer or some other kind of serious illness, or maybe they're out of a job, or maybe they're traveled and moving. Like, there's a lot of really serious reasons people disconnect and lose the ability to have close relationships with people. And we've known for a long time that the internet helps keep those relationships alive. But I do think that Nintendo in particular, as we've said before on the podcast, tends to drop the ball when it comes to their online functionality. And I feel like this will maybe encourage them to do a better job of it, because it is playing such a pivotal role in people's lives right now.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, tell me a little bit about the early days of Animal Crossing for you.
Look, I like Animal Crossing a lot, but man, I have a problem where the more that I look at other people's houses and beautiful islands with their, they have these gorgeous patios and they have manicured gardens and they've customized their outfits and they've done all this work and they have a museum that's like, you know, four layers deep and it's stock full of dinosaurs and stuff. I feel like I've got so much fucking work to put in to get anywhere near them that I'm at a point of like wanting to bow out. I really feel like how do I not succumb to just keeping up with the Joneses mentality in Animal Crossing? It's supposed to be my own personal island, but I feel like I'm constantly measuring myself against other players.
I mean, preach. I mean, how do you handle that stuff in real life? It sounds like Animal Crossing has just become too much of a simulation.
I mean, that's probably the problem. I just don't go see other people's houses, you know?
Because I haven't played the game yet, how often do you feel like you are visiting other houses versus how much time can you just spend improving your own island.
I mean, you could spend your entire, the whole time improving your own island. There's no need to go visit anybody else's island. I've gone for a couple reasons. One, that you can find resources that you don't have on your island. So other fruits, you know, you can go fishing, you can poke around. Maybe if you, you know, if you take an axe to your trees in a given day, if you're playing for a long period of time, you can exhaust the amount of wood available to you on your island that day. And if you're desperate,
right,
and you want to hoard up wood, you can go visit somebody else's island. And if they're on your best friend's list, you can take an axe to some of the trees and get some wood, right? So there's that resource aspect of it. For me, it's the same that it is with any game, right? Like, I just like hanging out with friends and visiting their island. And to be honest, I kind of wish there was a way to play this game that was a bit more rewarding without ever having to really spend much time on my island at all, right? Mm. So for example, and again, going back to ways to improve the online experience, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, if someone is listening, but there's no way to send your goods that you find on a friend's island back to your island to free up inventory in your bag. So if I'm collecting a bunch of wood or I found some fossils or whatever, at some point I have to get on a plane, leave their island, go back to my island, go into my house, and then store it. I can't just send things to storage.
Okay.
That's super frustrating. And there's weird functionality, like, whenever I come to an island, everyone has to be loaded in. Like, they have to see me land on their island and walk onto the island, right? For me to leave,
like,
it doesn't
like the Beatles or something.
Yeah, it's like this bizarre, like, oh, like, someone's visiting your island, and they show the plane landing and then me coming out of, like, security or whatever, you know, getting the pat down, checking that I don't have a fever and stuff. And so when I when you leave, the exact same process happens, and everyone has to put away their like in-game phones because you can't be in your menu while someone else is leaving because you need to watch them leave. So then I get on a plane and then I bounce and I go to my island, I load stuff up, and then I come back to go get more resources and hang out again. So there's like, you know, little things like that that don't make it super conducive for hanging out on other people's islands. But in a dream world, to be honest, I would just spend most of my time hanging out in other people's homes that are really nicely decorated, you know. and to be honest, that's who I am in real life anyway. Like, I would much rather just go to somebody else's house. They got food waiting for me, I'm ready to go, you know. Don't have to worry about cleaning my kitchen. So
I mean, I guess, I don't know, again, having not played the game yet, there's just, I'm hearing some ambivalence, right? That it's frustrating that your house isn't nicer, but you would also rather just hang out at nicer houses.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, can I just, like, you know, there's just a lot of, here's the thing, right? When a game has no goal, right? Mm-hmm. Animal Crossing has no goal. There's no like mission that you need to accomplish. Then the goals that you have are ones that you set yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And some people's goals might be, I want to have this beautiful house that looks a certain way, or I want to get every fruit, or I want to customize this part of my island, right? You set up a lot of different goals. I am a man with limited means on my island and and maybe a limited imagination, but I really only have a couple of goals. One is, I want to collect as many dinosaur fossils as I possibly can.
Okay.
To fill up my museum, because the museum is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I want my house to look nice on the outside, but then when you go in, it's terrifying, right? The first one, I'm limited by time and resources because fossils will only appear so often on your island, right? So there's a certain RNG luck aspect of it. So instead, I have to spend a lot of my time visiting other people's islands and looking for fossils. So literally, when I'm playing lately, I kind of wait to see, are my friends playing? I'm going to scour my island, go to their island, find fossils, come back, that kind of rinse, wash, repeat. And then in terms of making my house a terrifying killer's dungeon inside, I know that there's, you know, there's wallpaper that probably makes sense. Like, I want to find all black wallpaper, or, you know, I want to be able to create some of the like fun blood splotches that people have made using the in-game pixel art editor. So like, there's a lot of steps that I'm going to have to take to get to that point where I'm feeling like, hey, my house is in a good spot. And it just feels like so many people have committed so much more time to getting their house into a nice state that I just feel behind. And honestly, it's a little bit disheartening, you know, to be running on my island, running away from bees and getting bitten by spiders and stuff when I'm just trying to like catch up to, you know, the Joneses' house and their super sweet, you know, children's pool setup.
It just makes me want to play the game more now so I can see the evolution of what is either a glorious museum that you're creating or the evolution of that one house that we don't go near, or maybe both. Yeah. I just want to see the, like, I just want to see from my island. I just want to look at binoculars from either what is the virtual Animal Crossing Smithsonian or the Devil in the White City's Kill Mansion, you know.
What I will say is there, because of this sort of the pressure that is on me from myself to like make this an experience that I have like goals that I'm achieving and stuff, it can be very overwhelming. And actually, not to like move to Doom, and we only have a couple minutes anyway, but I am finding Doom refreshing because there's just none of that. You know, like you have one goal. It's to punch every demon in the face and kill them and then just move on as fast as you can, you know?
Yeah.
And there are times when it's like, man, I get it. I understand why people love Animal Crossing. I want to spend more time in it. I do like being there. I like being on my friends' islands. There's a lot to love. But sometimes I want a goal and I want to accomplish that goal. And in a weird way, I find myself right now, because we are sequestered in our homes, more drawn to having a very specific goal and accomplishing something and getting things done and being active than I am drawn to something like Animal Crossing, where it feels like leisure, but we're in a forced in-home leisure experience anyway, you know? So I'm definitely on more on the sort of action side for the time being.
So I have been playing Doom as well pretty early. I mean, I don't even think I'm close to halfway into it, but just there is something nice going back to kind of just the goals versus the in moment decisions. There is something nice playing a game that is so much about flow state, where you can't really think too carefully about things because you're just engaging with the systems, because that game is all about the systems.
Yep.
And when you're playing the game, it's that thing where you just have this loop where, all right, I'm going to shoot. Then I have this kind of tickling sense at the edge of my, you know, at the back of my mind that it's like, okay, it's about time to do the chainsaw. Then after that, I have to do the fire again, then go back to the gun. It's this thing where it's like, okay, I can turn off the metacognitive function of my brain and just get into the system here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you cannot take a break to think about it. Yeah. In that way, you know, like there are times when it's like, oh, should I try to like aim and nope, I gotta keep moving. I'm dying. Yep. I'm dying, you know? So
you said this before we were talking, but that game is funny because it's weird. It's a weird combination of, it's super lore heavy in a lot of weird ways, but it just doesn't give a fuck about telling you about any of them.
Yeah, not at all.
And then even like the opening scene of the game is like the Doom guy on a castle spaceship.
Yep.
And I will preface this by saying I did not finish Doom 2016, not because I didn't like it, just because I didn't get around to finishing it.
Yep,
but
same.
I just had, how did that game end? I'm on a castle spaceship in front of Earth. What happened?
Yeah, and like 60% of Earth is devastated by demons and stuff. Yeah. And your spaceship will open portals. You've got like an AI. I don't know what the fuck is going on, to be honest. And everyone, like even the demons that you go and kill and stuff, act as though they know what's up. You know?
Yeah.
Like they've gotten a memo. They knew you were coming. There's a whole plot. There's like a bad guy that is like taunting you. No idea who these people are. Yeah.
Even in the very beginning, they're like, you'll never face me, Doom Slayer. And it's like, everyone knows what's going on but me.
Yeah. But the nice thing, though, is if the game doesn't give a fuck about teaching me these things, then I don't have to give a fuck either. So,
yeah, exactly. You know,
I will just continue to punch things.
I'm interested to see where it goes. My understanding, even from what I played, was that there are more platforming systems, which I'm nervous about, but interested to see. There's additional things around the flamethrower. There's just more systems, and the whole thing is, in a strange way, kind of like an Overwatch or a Dota thing where it's cooldown management. You're just doing a bunch of cooldown management all the time, and I just want to see how that stuff plays out, because it's one of those things for me anyway where if I go any stretch of time without playing it, I kind of have to get my sea legs back with it, because there's just so many little systems to keep track of in your head.
Yeah, for sure. What I want to see is that, because earlier on in the game, there are husks of giant mecha, at some point we will fight in a mech, right? Oh, I mean, that is a given. That has to happen.
When I first saw that thing, I was so excited too. I was like, oh, that, they're like, pretty yes. soon. Yeah.
For a second, I was like, am I a mech now? Oh, no, I'm just a normal guy. Okay, cool.
You're just a tiny mech.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to keep playing it. I wonder how long it is, because I really do want to get into Animal Crossing and Final Fantasy coming up, but hopefully I can kind of rip and tear my way through it.
Final Fantasy in 10 days. I should preload that now.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, unless I can get an illegal street copy.
Exactly,
I,
yeah.
I put on Spoiler my hazmat alert. Suit and go nice. Foraging. All right, I think we will we'll leave it there for now. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. You can find this podcast wherever fine podcasts are sold, iTunes, Stitcher. Leave us a review. We much appreciate it.
Cool. All right, until next time, everybody, be well, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time we disagree, there's a place to go.